The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
Good evening. Good evening. It's nice to be here. Sharing the Dharma, practicing with others. Feels like such a, I don't know, can I say this? Such a privilege to be sharing the Dharma. It's a beautiful thing. So recently, I moved to a different location, not too far from where I was living before. And as part of the move, right, of course, it involves a lot of packing. And while I was packing, I did a lot of culling of things that were extra, things that weren't needed, letting go of things I no longer needed. I let go of a lot more than I expected, I guess. And then, of course, when I arrived at the new place and unpacking, like, oh, do I really need this? I thought I did in my other space, but in this new space, maybe I don't need this. So a whole nother round of kind of like shedding. And I have to say, I'm discovering, like, wow, how nice it is, how wonderful it is to simplify and to let go of so many extra things and just physically having less stuff. And of course, this brings to mind the Buddhist teaching, the practice of renunciation, which often we don't talk about that much. It's kind of in some dusty corner of the Eightfold Path. It's tucked away in there under the second factor, right intention. And it's also one of the paramis, this idea of to simplify and to let go of extra things that's not needed. And we can think of, I even feel a little hesitation to say this word renunciation, because often when we think about it, we might have some views about it means to be a monastic that maybe stands on one leg for a year, or I don't know, something, you know, that there might, we might have some ideas that it's requires some really some extreme asceticism or something like this. But instead, renunciation is more of a giving up, a cutting down, a letting go, in order to accomplish a more meaningful goal, in order to enable something that brings greater freedom and greater happiness. So it's not a way of like letting go or cutting down in the way that we might go on a diet, for example, or something. This feeling like, oh, it's something I should do, and comes with a sense of deprivation. And it's often bound up with a whole circle of things that is not leading to greater freedom. Renunciation is about softening our attachment to, releasing, letting go, all kinds of things for the sake of greater freedom, greater ease, greater love. So it's not a question of self-control, like we're trying to master ourselves in some feat of willpower. But it's just recognizing that there are things that are extra in our lives that can be heavy and bothersome and burdensome and obstructions on our way to greater freedom. So I mentioned there might be one resistance to this renunciation because we might have this idea that it requires some extreme sacrifice in a way that just seems like, okay, well, I can't do that. I'm not even going to go down that road. But also, right, it's not in the wider culture, let alone in kind of the Buddhist teachings, in the wider culture, it's really not supported, right? Kind of our culture is about the opposite. And I was reflecting, like, about what kind of some of the, what I've seen in the media and my life experience, what are some of the demonstrations of renunciation, simplicity, and maybe I don't know what this says about me, but what first came to mind was the Unabomber, right? Here's this person who lived by themselves with this really simple life, but, you know, this was not somebody that we want to emulate or to feel inspired by, certainly, right? And a second, like, instead, the opposite, I don't know if this still exists. Some years ago, there was a show that was called Keeping Up with the Kardashians. I don't know what that meant exactly, but this idea of keeping up calls to mind this idea we have to keep up with the Joneses, like whatever the Joneses have. The way that I understood that is whatever our neighbors, people that we know, kind of the, using the word Joneses as a generic description of people that live down the street and we don't really know what their names are, that whatever they are doing, somehow we have to keep up. We have to acquire, have the same things. So certainly kind of like the cultural milieu in which many of us live, it doesn't have the support of this idea of letting go and having less. However, there was this phenomenon of the Marie Kondo effect, I guess, right? Where she was really saying, simplify, simplify, and surround yourself with things that spark joy. And maybe that's what renunciation is pointing to. To have things that support a sense of joy and happiness and freedom. But there are good reasons that we might want to be suspicious of a lot of, you know, exhortations to let go. And some are that there can be some of this confusion that we have to, like, suppress this idea of wanting things, of desiring things, or having anything extra. Or there might be some aversion, like you have to let go of those things because they're bad. So maybe it gets tangled up with some puritanical ideas of good and bad, or some aversion or repression. You know, this kind of clamping down and or ignoring, or instead of honoring our experience and feeling our way into the way in which there might be some sparking joy or some greater happiness. And importantly, there might be this confusion of renouncing objects, which can be a part of simplifying. And I found for me, kind of having less objects certainly has created some great benefit. But there can be this confusion that we have to renounce all objects, when really what this is about is renouncing our clinging to objects and holding on to things that don't bring greater freedom or ease. So it's really about clinging and letting go, kind of these two movements. I think all of us recognize, right, this movement of holding on and clinging, if we really pay attention, is not a pleasant movement. Whereas this kind of letting go is opening our hands, has a more of a sense of onward leading and potential. And maybe one other reason why there might be some of this resistance to renunciation or simplifying is it can be frightening. Because there might be a sense of that clinging is giving us a sense that we're taking care of ourselves. We're clinging to this object, this idea, whatever it might be, as a sense of security. Or maybe we're clinging to people or identities as a way to feel safe in the world. And we can honor and respect that too. Renunciation doesn't mean that we have to pry things out from our fingers, but instead it's to help create the conditions in which we can let go of those things that no longer are supporting us. So if we do find that we have some resistance to this idea of renunciation or letting go, we can just work with it as a question. What would it be like? What would it be like to let go, to have less, to soften and simplify maybe our lives? Or maybe we could take it as an experiment. What would it be like to just try it? You know, start where it's easy. So instead of feeling burdensome like something that we should do, we could take it on with some curiosity, with a sense of experiment, or just a question, what would it be like? So I talked about letting go of objects and how sometimes we need to let go of is the clinging and not the objects themselves, but also maybe what we're clinging to is the belief that the objects will be a source of lasting happiness. It's the ideas of what the objects will bring, not the objects themselves, that we often are clinging to. And so instead, can we move through the world with some ease without this sense that we have to acquire and get more and more and more? There's this quote from the Dhammapada. The person immersed in gathering blossoms, their heart distracted, death sweeps them away as a great flood, a village asleep. So as the village asleep, people are not paying attention, and this great flood just comes and takes them away. So in the same way, if we're distracted by getting all the blossoms, all the flowers, oh, look at this one, this is pretty. Oh, wow, maybe I need this one too. The person immersed in gathering blossoms, their heart distracted. Death sweeps them away as a great flood, a village asleep. So maybe they come to the end of their life having been busy, just accumulating. And then there's another verse in the Dhammapada that goes this way. As a bee, without harming the blossom, its color, its fragrance, takes the nectar and flies away, so should the wise person walk through a village. I like this idea of the bee buzzing, going from flower to flower. It's natural. Bees take the nectar without harming. So they take what's needed without harming and go to the next flower. Or maybe this person, they're saying, walks through a village. In my mind, that's talking about the monastics who are maybe doing an alms round. But is there a way in which that we can move through whatever our livelihood is or however we spend our days? Is there a way that we can move it, taking what's needed and without harming? So we can also let go of our views and our opinions. Because I think maybe you've noticed like the certainly in others and maybe in ourselves too, if we're honest, that we often carry our anger or our grudges in our views and opinions. If we're really tangled up in them and holding them tight, often there's a little bit of unfinished business associated with them. And this undermines the heart and keeps us filled with judgments. It should be like this, it shouldn't be like that. of course we have discernment. Of course we notice how things are helpful and not helpful, beneficial, not beneficial, skillful, wholesome, all these ways. But we can still have perspectives and views and values, and we can carry them, but it's the clinging and grasping and believing them wholeheartedly in such a way that the anger or the grudges that might be underneath them or the fear that might be underneath them leaks out of them and onto others and onto us. So can we kind of let go of our views and opinions in the way that they might be harmful without taking up this idea that we should never have a view or opinion? Of course we should have discernment and perspectives and values and use them to guide our behaviors and the way that we show up in the world. We can also let go of trying to possess others in some kind of way. The extent that we try to control our partners, our children, our parents, whomever. We all know this, that people don't like it. And it doesn't work. We all know this because we've all tried it. We don't like to be controlled. Even though we might find ourselves controlling others, we know they don't like it. So is this a way, is this that we might see somewhere that we might be doing some holding on, and can we let go, renounce as best we can this way of we might try to control others or possess them or own them, whether it's in obvious ways or really subtle ways? We all know it's not a successful strategy, and in the end, we can love them. We can care for them. We can listen to them, make space for them, be present for them. This feels so much better, both for us and for others. So, when we often think of renunciation, we think of objects, but maybe there's some other ways in which we can let go or soften any clinging around things that are not helpful. So, in this way, we can think of renunciation as a movement of the heart. It's a movement towards greater happiness, greater freedom, and if the words of Marie Kondo, to be have our lives be filled with things that spark joy, so a movement towards greater joy. And there's this passage in the Dhammapada says that if by giving up a lesser happiness one could experience greater happiness, a wise person would renounce the lesser and behold the greater. So it's not a sense of we're having to let go so that we feel miserable. It's to let go because this is a way in which we can find some greater happiness and some ease. So this letting go in some way should bring a certain type of joy or unburdening. This movement towards sources of lasting happiness. That is, having some spaciousness in our lives. So maybe before I talk about spaciousness, I'll say that somehow this renunciation, importantly, it undermines this movement of needing more and more, this feeling like we have to accumulate or acquire more and more. It's this comes to this powerful assumption that we might have, that happiness comes through having or storing or something. And this assumption promises a way out of dissatisfaction, promises a way out of unease, But instead, it ends up supporting this nagging insecurity that somehow we are fundamentally lacking. So this, the more that we wish or accumulate, think that we want more, it fuels this belief that we might have that somehow we as humans, as individuals, are individually lacking something. So instead, renunciation is an invitation to feel into what's available when we aren't always trying to get more, and to see and to feel in that actually we do have so much what we need. Maybe we don't have everything, but we often have so much more than we think we do. And so this consequence of letting go, not only can we find a sources of greater happiness, but there can be some greater confidence. Because without realizing it, we might be, our lack of confidence might be tied to our inability to feel okay unless we feel like we're having more and more. But if we can just pause with this idea of having more and feel into, oh yeah, it is okay. And sometimes, I know for me, the experiences when I've had this is with backpacking, where you don't want to carry a whole lot, right? So you just have carry with you what you can carry on your back. And to feel the joy, the simplicity of just walking and being with so few things. It's beautiful. It's a wonderful thing. And with retreat practice, there's a reason why the retreat rooms are really simple and with not a lot there. And retreat centers are very simple. And both of these experiences, spending time in nature, backpacking, and doing some retreats, and doing some long retreats, spending months with just few things, and realizing that, oh, actually, I can get by with less. It kind of increases my confidence so that now when I go to visit friends and families back when I used to travel more to see others, I don't have this sense that I have to pack so much, right, just to make sure that I feel safe or feel okay. So this renunciation, something that we might not even think about, is a way that increases our confidence. Okay, I can get by even though I don't have exactly what I think I need. It's okay. It's okay. And then maybe I'll get back to what I started to say earlier. There can also be this sense of spaciousness, which often feels like a precious commodity, that our lives are crammed full, literally or figuratively. Maybe they're crammed full of objects, or maybe they're crammed full with busyness or with a sense of things that we need to do. And there's a part of us often that yearns for spaciousness in whatever way this spaciousness might show up. So renunciation is a movement towards this greater spaciousness, this maybe having a wider view rather than kind of having this cramped view. So often we feel burdened by this constriction of this busyness and chasing around trying to find the next thing. Renunciation is also an opportunity in which we can have some clarity. Okay, what is it that I really need? What is a real support for some greater freedom? What will really help create the conditions that can support my meditation practice, that really support it, that can support my, all the ways in the Eightfold Path has so many different factors, right? So our intentions and support our speech, our actions, our sense of being settled, support some wisdom. So have some clarity. So what are the things that are really our support for practice, and what are just desires? And there'll be another desire that comes up, and, you know, just wait a little bit, half hour, an hour, couple hours. There might be, you know, just another one that comes up. So that can be something also to just experiment with and play with, and to question, what would it be like if I didn't give in to all these desires? And to just take it on as a exploration without a feeling that it should be, that we shouldn't do this, or that's burdensome, that's extra. We can renounce the sense that we should not have shoulds. And maybe when another thing about renunciation is that it can be a support for sensitivity, in the sense that when we are indulging all of our desires all the time, there's kind of can be a dulling of our senses of what's valuable or what's the beauty that is in simplicity. We might miss over some of the very simple pleasures that are available to us if we're always trying to satisfy, you know, and chasing after all the different desires. So some supports for cultivating or practicing with renunciation is to cultivate a feeling of abundance. And one way to do that is to be generous. This practicing generosity often has the effect of having you feel a sense of abundance. So maybe renunciation is related to generosity, and you start with what feels like would be a generous thing to do. Another way that we can support practicing renunciation is to be asking ourselves, do I really need this? And we might discover that our needs are relatively simple, especially if we pay attention to what our desires are or what our wants are. And those are endless. Have you noticed? I know for me, often what I do is sometimes I will go to Amazon and have this idea, well, I think I need this new thing, clearly. I need this, and I'll put it into the basket, the shopping cart. I appreciate this so much about Amazon, is that you don't have to check out, and there is something about, okay, I put it in the cart, and then I make it as a practice. I never buy things on the same day as I put them in the cart. It's amazing how many things that, like, I end up on this in the cart. Sometimes I come back later, I'm like, oh, okay, I have to remove all these things out of the cart. I don't actually feel like I need these now. But this, for me, has kind of been an interim step of I put them in the cart, but I don't, you know, there's some ways in which that's satisfying, I guess. But often don't actually click the next few buttons that are required to actually acquire it. So maybe that's some way to explore. Do I really need this? And then maybe you can ask yourselves when you have this sense of there's not enough, I need more. Just in a kind-hearted, gentle way, you could ask yourself, well, when has it been enough to feel into that? When have you felt a sense of contentment or ease or spaciousness? And to maybe even ask yourself, well, when will it be enough? So in this way, renunciation can be a movement of the heart towards more clarity, more happiness, some more spaciousness, and some more confidence, as a way that really can support our movement towards greater and greater freedom and ease. And of course, it can support our movement towards the way that we are on this planet and with others. Decrease the amount of harm that we might do. So this practice of renunciation can simplify our lives, but also can be a way in which we support others in indirect ways that we may never know. So kind of this practice of renunciation, can this be for the benefit not only for ourselves, but for countless others, as we consume less and discover the sparks of joy that are possible with less? Thank you.